What a wonderful time of praise and worship, coming before his throne with thanksgiving and praise. Did you notice a theme flowing through all of the songs that we sang? Right? My hope is built on nothing less. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. On the Word of God. That's what we do. We believe in the Word. We teach. We pray. We share, we speak the word of God to each other. And we're just continuing that in our Summer of Psalms. The title today is The Courage of Being at Home with God. I hope you see the flowing of the themes of being at peace, being in safety, being in love, being encompassed by our rock, our salvation, our secure Savior. Do you ever... Let me reconsider that. Do you consider yourself to be a courageous person? Do you consider yourself to be a person of courage? There are so many stories with the theme of courage. The cowardly lion in The Wizard of Oz, who is trying to find the courage to help Dorothy to get back home. Frodo, seeking courage and the fellowship of others to fulfill a seemingly impossible task of taking that ring and destroying it in Mount Doom. William Wallace, mustering the courage to face a far superior army to find freedom. Luke Skywalker, showing courage as he faced his father, the epitome of evil, Darth Vader, and help him turn from the dark side. Our hearts seem to stir with these stories of courage and the journey along the way and the quest to find the courage to overcome. In this psalm, a psalm of David, Psalm 27, the shepherd king, the author David, had a conversation with himself in his heart. He asked, "Why should I be afraid? Why should I tremble?" Then he answered his own question with a powerful declaration. The beginning of this psalm, "Yahweh is my light and my salvation, my fortress, my protection, the one who is protecting me." True courage in the face of fear and uncertainty comes not from our own strength, our own ability, but from knowing and trusting in the unchanging presence and character of the Lord God Almighty. Let's pause one more time and go before his throne. Pray with me. Father God, our rock, our creator, our provider, our savior. We trust in you. You are our strong fortress, our way, our truth, and our life. Thank you for this psalm. Thank you for your word that teaches us how to trust in you. Take the songs that we have sung, our corporate confession of our trust in you, as we bring it before your throne. We lay our lives before you as living sacrifices, just as Jesus taught us and showed us to do. We love you, Lord. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for this beautiful body of Christ. And even in the difficult times, even in the challenging circumstances, maybe when darkness seems to overwhelm us, we trust in you. We turn to you. You are our light and our salvation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, I only have 5 pages of notes. That might be a good thing. Everybody look at your watch. Okay. From where does your courage come is the main question. And I've got the point, so I'm just going to have to go back and forth between these slides. But I put up the words. I will read them again from you. You heard them in the New Living, in the English Standard Version. I want you to hear them in the New Living Translation. Just a little bit different words, maybe. The Lord is my light and my salvation, David says. Why should I be afraid? The Lord is my fortress, protecting me from danger. So why should I tremble? When evil people come to devour me, when my enemies and foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. Though a mighty army surround me, my heart will not be afraid. Even if I am attacked, I will remain confident. So the first thought, I knew I'd go the wrong way, is a bold declaration. This psalm begins with an absolute statement of faith. Right? An absolute statement of faith. The Lord. L-O-R-D, all caps. What does that mean? Yahweh. Right? That tetragrammaton, those four words. The almighty creator of the universe, the supreme God, the only one, the one and true God, is my light and my salvation. These beautiful words. So why should I be afraid, he says. The Lord is my fortress, my protector, right? He says, protecting me from danger. So why should I be trembling? David does not deny that enemies exist, right? We don't know when some of these psalms were written. It might have been in the time when he was running from Saul. We don't know his circumstances, and that doesn't really matter because David had a lot of challenging and difficult circumstances. But he was saying, no matter what is happening, you are my fortress. You are my light. You are my salvation. Something else to notice is David admits that he's afraid, that he trembles, the two words he uses. He has a healthy understanding of the difficulties that he is facing. It's okay to be afraid. It's okay to have times in your life when you may tremble. It's okay to admit that we need help. And then, of course, we ask for help. And where does David say his help comes from, right? My help comes from the Lord. And another thing that I want us to notice is we need each other. Yes, we admit our fear, we admit our failures, we confess our sins one to another, and we give them up to God, but we also share with each other because we are to be carrying one another's burdens, right? There are times when each of us is going to be weak, and maybe this was a hard week for you. It was for me. But through it all, God is our light, our salvation, our rock. The second thought is a confident stance. Even as David's enemies approach, he remains undaunted. He states this beautiful statement, and I think of when the prophet was allowed to see the armies of angels surrounding him. Though a mighty army surrounds me, my heart will not be afraid. And that's the opposite, right? Because he's thinking about probably a real army. And we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, right? And when we feel that, when we sense that, when we know that, we can claim that even though we're surrounded by evil, even though we're surrounded by wickedness, even though our world seems like it is going to hell quickly, he is still our light and our shield, our protection, our safety. He says, the Lord is my fortress, right? We live in a country of castles. I love visiting castles. And that stronghold, that defense where when an army was coming, all the people would leave their fields and their homes and everything. They'd run into the keep and they would be safe. This is what David is saying. This section establishes that our security is not based on the absence of trouble, but on the unwavering presence of God. He is our light, our salvation, and our stronghold. And I want to go to the next image for this. From where do you draw your courage? To whom do you turn when your world, your family, or your friends let you down? What is your go-to place when you feel fear? The Lord is my light and my salvation, so why should I be afraid? The Lord is my fortress, protecting me from danger, so why should I tremble? A beautiful couple of verses that we can memorize and pray and confess. So moving on, second thought, in what or whom do you seek courage? Similar question to what we've asked. I want to go to the verses again. David says, the one thing I ask of the Lord, the thing I seek most, is to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, delighting in the Lord's perfections and meditating in his temple. For he will conceal me there when trouble comes. He will hide me in his sanctuary. He will place me out of reach on a high rock. Then I will hold my head high above my enemies who surround me. At his sanctuary, I will offer sacrifices with shouts of joy, singing and praising the Lord with music. What we have done today, and as we move into Psalm 100 next week, we will do a lot of next week. But the thoughts are a singular focus. David's primary request, catch this, is not for victory over his enemies, but for intimacy with God, right? He's not asking, Lord, release me, save me from this turmoil. He's calling for intimacy with God. One thing I have asked of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. That's turning his attention. It's resetting his focus. It's what we've been talking about, is returning, repenting, right? When you're surrounded, when you see the evil, when you see the difficulty, you turn and you cause your mind and your heart to go back to the Lord. A dwelling place of safety. It is in God's presence that David finds his refuge. He knows that God will hide him in the shelter in the day of trouble. This intimacy with God is the source of his confidence and his protection. It is the source of your confidence and protection should you call upon him. And then a heart of worship. From this place of safety, this place where he has absolute confidence in God, David, his heart overflows with praise. It reads, and now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me, and I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. His focus shifts from fear to worship. And did you catch this? I've said it before. The safest place that you and I can be, mentally, emotionally, physically, is in the presence of Almighty God, right? When we're before his glory, we can't hide, right? His glory overwhelms, and yes, it can be fearful. Yes, God is almighty, and he is good, and he is pure. But when we come to him in humility and confession and saying, I need you. I want this intimacy that David had with you. I want to be a man after your own heart, God. Then his love overwhelms and fills us. And out of that experience, we feel praise. We speak praise. We worship. Worship is the safest place that you and I can be. So, a good question. Is your place of safety in the presence of God? Do you regularly turn and return to focusing your heart and mind on Christ? How would you answer this question? What is the one thing you most desire? What is the one thing you most desire? Now, we're learning to be healthy disciples in a healthy church, right? That's our big goal. We're working on that. And so maybe if we're honest with that question, something else might have popped up in your mind. I won't try to fill in that blank because there are a whole bunch of things that we want, we desire, and we seek after. I'm going to move to this table in a minute, and the next section is kind of hard. It's one of those where I'm going to feel like the duck, you know, in the shooting gallery going back and forth, so I'll just stay over there. But the tension between turning to God and seeking God and understanding the difficulty that we face. I've been having fun with these AI images. So I put up a couple of images. The one on your left was my heart coming out of wounding. And this is actually a pretty tame picture because in my mind it's much more black. It's much more dark. It's almost like an evil dungeon. But this is the image for many, many years that I had of my heart out of wounding, out of trauma, out of some of the things that David is expressing in this psalm. But we have this beautiful verse, and I'm not sure where I put it. It's Ezekiel. God said, I will take your heart of stone, and I will take it away, and I will replace it. I will give you a living, active, alive heart, right? That's that beautiful image on the right. And then this is now close to, not completely, it's a little different in my mind. The table is a round table like this one, has lion legs on it, I don't know why. But this is my restored heart. This is the new heart the Lord has given me through a long season of healing. And I want you to notice one thing. Do you see what's hanging on the tree? They're called manacles, right? Manacles are the things that were put around people's throats and they were chains. And for some reason, in my heart, there's still some manacles hanging on a tree. And I believe they're there to remind me of the slavery that I came out of when I found healing. And so as we move to this third section, prayer of courage and a hope call to wait. I want you to listen to David's words from verse 7 through 14. Hear me as I pray, O Lord. Be merciful and answer me. My heart has heard you say, come and talk with me. Right? Do you see the invitation? Jesus is sitting at a table in your heart waiting for you to come and sit down and talk to him. And my heart responds, Lord, I am coming. I want to talk to you. Do not turn your back on me. Do not reject your servant in anger. You have always been my helper. Don't leave me now. Don't abandon me, O God of my salvation. Even if my father and mother abandon me,
the Lord will hold me close. Teach me how to live, O Lord. Lead me along the right path, for my enemies are waiting for me. Do not let me fall into their hands, for they accuse me of things I've never done. With every breath, they threaten me with violence. Yet I'm confident I will see the Lord's goodness. While I am here in the land of the living, wait patiently for the Lord. Be brave and courageous. Yes, wait patiently for the Lord. So just a few thoughts. Oops, wrong way. A sincere plea. The tone of this section shifts as David makes a personal appeal to God. He cries out, "Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud, and do not hide your face from me." This shows his vulnerability and his faith. Trust does not mean the absence of struggle or a doubt, but a willingness to bring it before God. And hope in the midst of darkness or despair. David acknowledges the possibility of his parents forsaking him, but immediately declares, "But the Lord will take me in." God is your loving heavenly Father who will father you, even if your experience on earth of father was not very good. He's a good, good father. So I look at this section, and I want to go back to it. I underlined, not for you, but for me, the despair. He said, "Be merciful and answer me. Don't turn your back on me. Don't reject me. Don't leave me. Don't abandon me. My father and mother might abandon me. My enemies are waiting for me. Don't let me fall into their hands, for they accuse me and they threaten me." Right? All of the negative things that he's feeling, he states to God. But in these verses, and I bolded them for me, he says, "You say, come and talk with me. And I say, Lord, I'm willing. You have always been my helper, Lord. You are the God of my salvation," he repeats. "You, Lord, will hold me close. Teach me how to live, O Lord. Lead me along paths of righteousness, along right paths. I will see the Lord's goodness." And then finally, the last verse, he says, "Wait patiently for the Lord. Be brave and courageous. Yes, wait patiently for the Lord." David, the man who knew fear and triumph, urges us to place our hope in God and to wait patiently for his deliverance, knowing that he is faithful. So, before we move to the application and conclusion, I'll bring this back up later. I think in a couple of weeks we're going to do the book of Ephesians. We're going to start that journey beginning in September. I'm really looking forward to it. The series will be Living Together in Christ, right? How do we as a church live together as community in Christ? But I want to share five. It's called My Road to Restoration and Healing. And this is just something that the Lord keeps bringing back, and we'll come back to this. But I just want you to hear this because I want to get it in your brain and ask you to start thinking about it. Stage one is discovery or realization. And this is what the psalm is teaching us to do. Meditate on the Lord. This is twice in the psalms. The Lord has said, "Come, let's sit down and let's talk about this." God wants to have an intimate, loving relationship with you to where you're willing to share with him. And you're willing to discover some of the difficult things in your life and in your heart, maybe asking him, what, Lord, am I not willing to give up? Right? Sometimes we are not even aware of the things in our lives that have happened to us or the results, just the things we're hanging on to. So discovery is the first step. Stage two is owning and understanding, right? When you're sitting with the Lord or a brother or a sister in prayer and an idea comes to your mind and you think, oh my goodness, I do need to give that up. I need your help, Lord. You're my rock and my salvation. You're my light. I need your help. I own that this is something I struggle with. I need you to help me be willing to give it up. Right? It's not the final stage, but it's being willing to be willing. Right? Stage three is confession and making it right. That's the next logical step. Lord, I give it up to you. Help me to give it up. Help me to surrender my life totally and completely to you, no matter what I'm feeling, no matter the storm around me, no matter. I give it all to you. I confess to him. I may need to go to a brother or a sister and confess to them and ask for their prayer, ask for their forgiveness. That's being a healthy follower of Jesus Christ. Very important step. Stage four is healing. Right? If you want healing in your life, you have to be willing to go through the difficult steps of the earlier stages to find that kind of healing. And as I was working through these several years ago, I didn't realize that there was a stage five, but I was with a counselor and they said, do you realize there's a stage five? And I said, oh, there's a stage five? And they said, yeah, it's compassion and acceptance of others who are on the journey that you've just been on. And that's where I hope you feel me as your shepherd, as your friend, as someone who's willing to be open and vulnerable with you. I get how hard the journey is. And if we're going to be an authentic body of Jesus Christ, brothers and sisters in his kingdom, we can be real and we can be honest with each other. We can confess our sins to one another so that we may be healed. It's what Jesus wants for us. So you may be on the difficult journey of needing some healing and needing someone to come alongside you. You may be that person who needs to come alongside someone else and listen and love and accept and not judge, right? Let the Almighty Creator of the universe do the judging. That's not for you and me to do. Our task, our job is to love as our highest value. So Psalm 27 is a journey from the bold certainty of God's power to the vulnerable honesty of a heart in need, all while holding fast to the central truth that courage comes from his presence. It teaches us that our ultimate desire should not be for the removal of our trouble, but for a deeper intimacy with God, who is our light and our salvation. Now, I realize this was probably a little heavy, and we'll have a time of prayer. We'll have a song of response for you to talk to the Lord, maybe ask him some questions. But I wanted to lighten it up a little bit because I've been having fun with these AI things. So integrity and honesty, there they are. And I thought, okay, I must be a person of integrity. I must be a person of honesty. But I put them as angelic figures because they are from God. right? If I try to do it on my own, I can't, right? It's like putting on his salvation, right? His armor, okay? So these images are from God. Honesty comes from God. Integrity comes from God. And then I thought, there we go. These were the goodness sisters, right? Surely goodness and mercy. Surely and mercy goodness. But I did the right word. It's grace. That surely goodness means grace. So grace and mercy come from God. They are our protectors. And there's rod and staff. The guys that the shepherd said will protect us. So let's stand, and I'll lead us in a closing prayer, and we'll sing a hymn of response. Father, we come before your throne once again, falling before you as sinners in need of grace. We need your mercy. We need your compassion and your love to overflow and change us from the inside out. Lord, we want you to be in and through and among us as we partner with you and each other to become the people that, yes, we want to be, but really who you want us to be. And Lord, we want to be the community that you want us to be. So we surrender, we submit, and we repent in this time of reflection. May your Holy Spirit come and touch and convict and challenge, yet strengthen and encourage us in this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.